This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard. Well, hello, friends. Tony Howard here, and welcome to this episode of the Astrology University podcast and the Cosmic Eye Forecast for Scorpio season 2021. And I'm joined by Vanessa Montgomery. Hey, Vanessa, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, Tony. Hey, everyone. Thanks for coming along for the deep dive into Scorpio season.
Yes. And we're going to start the podcast today by having you take us into Scorpio. So tell us a little bit about Scorpio and we'll dive in.
Okay. So get in, witches. It's spooky season. So, of course, it's interpersonal fixed water. You know, that's the headline for Scorpio. And that says so much already about Scorpio, that fixed nature, that water, and of course, interpersonal. They're really into you being interpersonal. Ruled by Mars, if you are a traditional astrologer, of course, Pluto, both very strong signs or planets. Sorry, the scorpion is the symbol. I don't know about you guys, but I noticed that Scorpios like to advertise with tattoos. There's so many. I mean, you don't see, well, the recent years you've seen the arrow. You rarely see a Virgo advertising, but you see that Scorpion brand on a lot of Scorpios. And I'm not sure if it's advertising or buyer beware. trespassers, you know, it's at your own risk. So it's very magnetic, it's very intense, I think very intriguing, that mystery around Scorpio. It invites intrigue and it does invite interest. Sultry and dark. I find a lot of, including you, Tony, people that end up doing things have either Mars, I've said this before, like a Mars rule sign like Aries or Scorpio behind them, powering them along, because it's a sign that it's fixed. It does not let go beyond death, and they're still hanging on to something if they believe in it enough. And of course, that can be a pitfall for anyone with strong Scorpio, because it is a challenge to let go and flow. But that's part of, I think, the life lesson for Scorpios. Yeah. So I'd love to hear a bit of insight from you, Tony. And, you know, getting someone with the Scorpio to talk about it is sometimes like pulling teeth, because it is a private sign. It's a very private sign. Do you have a couple of things to say about your experience living?
Yeah, I think I could sum it up in two words. No comment.
Exactly. Exactly. Next question. Yes. No, not even next question. Leave me alone.
Yeah, no, I think you really dug into it a little bit. You know, when I talk about Scorpio, I do think sometimes that the sex thing is overdone. You know, we really hype it. We talk about Scorpio as if none of the other signs have sex.
Yeah, right.
And it turns out that all of the signs have sex. And so I think that we do go overboard with it, but I think there's a reason. It's because it's a Mars ruled sign, you know, traditionally, and Mars has to do with sex in concert with Venus, I think in the best case scenario, although I would say that because I have a strong Venus, Mars doesn't necessarily think so. But I think that's where that side comes from, that connection. And being fixed water, I think we can really say a lot about Scorpio in that way. And some of the things that you've already mentioned and that difficulty letting go and holding on. And I think of we can describe some of the Scorpio challenges and pitfalls by thinking about fixed water. If we think about the shadow and stagnant water, right? Mm. And stagnant emotions and stagnant old stories, right? That we just held on to a bit too long, and it really is time to let go, but we're just, it's hard to get that water flowing and moving.
Yep. Yeah, that's a really, I can see that, that fetid water that's not flowing. Can smell it. Good point. And it makes me think about, you know, this is an archetype that's built around the Northern Hemisphere at this time, which is the middle of fall. Okay, we've stepped into the changing season. It's like the last stop before going into winter. And you really want to make sure that you've formed alliances that will get you through. You know, it's a sign of survival that will help you survive that winter. That's the way I see it. So you're going into the underworld, like into the darker world. And of course, Halloween is hosted by none other than Scorpio. No surprise there. It's full of all the ideas and archetypes and themes of Scorpio. So no other season quite has a celebration that nails it quite like Halloween, I think, for Scorpio. So you can see it all there. And it's, you know, it's about facing death, you know, the possibility of back in the day, people did die, you know, through the winter. It's different for us now in the West, for most of us. So when you think of a Scorpio holding those traits, even if the external world isn't like that, that idea of survival seems to be very close to the surface. And the Scorpio will get to real talk because there's no time to mess about, you know. I think in Libra season, we had the fun and like the mixing, the social mixer and the getting together. And then Scorpio's just real talk, like, I'm going to test you to make sure that you will like not abandon me when things get rough and it gets cold and there's like, I don't know, one item of food left, that you will share that with me, or you will back me because I'll back you and I'll share with you. So it's got to go two ways here. So yes, Scorpio holds on through the long dark winter and will drag you through it. That's the way I see it. So there's real talk. There's the idea of secrets and the hidden and the mystery through to metaphysical ghosts. A lot of Scorpios are very interested in astrology because I think it helps lift the cover on mysteries and the psychological side of people. And what, you know, you can just see that horoscope and straight away you can see so much about the person. And that's fascinating to anyone with a bit of eighth house or a bit of Scorpio, maybe a bit of Pluto too. I do see a lot of Scorpio placements with this stuff. There's the ghouls, there's the undead, there's all those fall festivals throughout the world that, you know, in Mexico, the Day of the Dead, they're a bit more out about, you know, inviting in the ancestors and leaving food for them and celebrating those things. So it's about, like Scorpio does, face those things that you might fear rather than pretend they're not there. So I think there's a lot in it for everyone with all of that stuff. And of course, there's been a lot of amped up and very real fear of death over the last couple of years. And it's that Scorpio theme that we could step into to look at that from a place of strength, I think. You know, what is it that you're afraid of? Questioning the dark, questioning the fear, facing it, and it makes it not as frightening at that point, I think. So the descent. I think what you were saying with the water, I think about like what needs to be lanced, like let out the poison as well, because anything festering is poison. And you do have that idea of poison around Scorpio as well. I think that's interesting. They're very loyal. I quite like that about the Scorpio vibe, that loyalty, but they also need to learn when to let go, you know, when perhaps a relationship has become toxic or is not good for either party anymore. It's time to let go. So the body part is the reproductive organs and the sacral chakra. And I find Scorpios get a lot of issues with that, especially women get a lot of ovarian cysts, actually, people with strong Scorpio and endometriosis. I think the process of elimination is interesting for Scorpio because it rules the detective, or eighth house particularly is the detective as well. And detectives work by process of elimination. That just came to me before.
So
but it's
good.
True. And they love it. They love like ticking through those things and doing the research, doing the detective work. This kind of leads me a little bit into the classic signs, but I've been getting a bit into Edgar Allan Poe. He basically invented the archetype of the detective before we knew Sherlock Holmes, which was basically based on his character. And of course, I thought, like, this guy has got to have some Scorpio in there. I think he had a bit of depressive Capricorn because he was a Capricorn, but he had Scorpio rising, he had Uranus, and I think the North Node on the Ascendant, all in Scorpio. So that flavor has got to be there with someone that wrote the way he did, and it was his horror writing that did much better than, you know, his romance and everything else that he wrote. He was, you know, famed for that. Yeah, so that leads us into, unless you have anything more to say.
Oh, we could just go on and on about Scorpio, but let's go to the classic signs.
We caught it so fun. Who is your classic Scorpio?
I picked Robert Mapplethorpe this time. Mapplethorpe was one of the most controversial artists of the 80s and 90s. He was a photographer. And actually, that was, I'm going to jump over to an aside before I jump into his story, but he, you know, photography is seen differently than it was when he was around. I remember hearing one of his friends from that time period saying he'd given her some of his photos and she had kind of carelessly tossed them out, and now they're worth so much money. But back then, when he was doing it, photography, it was kind of hard to actually make money from your photos. And he actually had a big impact on that. He had the Sun, Jupiter, Mars, and the Ascendant in Scorpio, and the Sun and Jupiter square Saturn, which was conjunct Pluto. So he had the Saturn-Pluto conjunction, and that conjunction was square his Sun, Jupiter, Mars business. He used his photography to push buttons, to make people uncomfortable, and to reveal a side of human sexuality that up until then had largely remained hidden from view, at least in the world of mainstream photographic art. So big impact there, and a big scorpionic impact. And I have a few quotes from him, classic, amazing one. Beauty and the devil are the same thing. So there's one. And when I have sex with someone, I forget who I am. For a minute, I even forget I'm human. It's the same thing when I'm behind a camera. I forget I exist. End of quote. And there's one more, and I'm going to edit out a little word here, but this one I like because I thought, I saw this quote and I was like, okay, that's classic Scorpio in your face kind of quote, but I don't think I should say it on the podcast. There's my, you know, Virgo prudeness coming through, I guess. I have some Scorpio stuff too, but my Virgo stuff wins out in these moments. And then I thought, no, it's perfect to say this quote because it really captures something of the essence. And he says, and if you know his work, this makes even more sense. So I'm using an A word, and the word has three letters. Okay. I don't think there's that much difference between a photograph of a fist up someone's A word and a photograph of carnations in a bowl. And you're like, okay. I kind of beg to differ. I think there's a little bit of a difference. I'm just saying.
Well, I think that's the thing. It just makes me think of the Scorpio stuff. No wonder Scorpios hide out. You know, I think of the trapdoor spiders. Sometimes they come out and then they like disappear at the hint of any threat, or yeah, there's like this safety mechanism. And it's because Scorpio, it just rules the taboo. It rules what we're uncomfortable with and that we give away our power around. And those Scorpios that stand out, that just step into the light and own it, are incredibly powerful. But their theme and their archetype is all about that stuff that isn't polite.
Absolutely. And it's just the, you know, the things that make us uncomfortable. It's Scorpio is all about like, look under the rock to see what's there. And, you know, I'm like, actually, I don't want to look under the rock. I know that because there could be something creepy under there. So let's just leave the rock. Right. Yeah, absolutely. So who'd you pick for yours?
Well, it's always so hard to boil it down because there's always so many great people representing their sign. I came down to who really stood out was actually Caitlyn Jenner in terms of complete transformation, you know, going into that part of Scorpio that's really at the heart of how they can transcend and how we all can. We all have Scorpio somewhere in our chart. So I thought of Caitlyn Jenner and also Louise Hay, who has Moon in Scorpio, in terms of, you know, basically surviving death or making this change so that they could survive. So the survival instinct is there. And I watched the Netflix documentary on, called Untold, Caitlyn Jenner, and I found it really interesting because she's very, like, she's sharing something that, yeah, it's really private with the whole world. It's, she's done something that a lot of people would want to hide. She did hide for most of her life. And I think her quotes around this are interesting. So she said, "If I was lying on my deathbed and I had kept this secret and never ever did anything about it, I would be lying there saying, 'You just blew your entire life. You never dealt with yourself, and I don't want that to happen.'" So I'm thinking that, like, there's nothing quite as sobering as death. The perspective from the end of your life. And, you know, she's got those Scorpio tells there, which is, she's talking about secrets, she's talking about surviving. So another quote is from the survivor side is, "I'm not doing this to be interesting, I'm doing this to live." So she just flat out says that. And yeah, I find that fascinating and her story fascinating. And of course, no one is just one archetype. And with all that Olympian 70s looks and accomplishment, there's got to be some Sagittarius in there. And of course, she's Venus in Sagittarius. And yeah, it's just, it shows that how the flavor of things mix in. So it's like she was letting the Venus, the Sag, kind of hold the light for most of her life without showing who she really was, the sun coming through and doing what it needed to survive. So, and yeah, then leading the way for other people. So, and it also with Louise Hay, Moon in Scorpio, you know, she famously had a brush with death, that she was told she had incurable cancer, and she just looked back and just kind of transformed within herself, and then took a lot of people through in the time of AIDS and that journey to help them face and accept and transform through. So that will be in my book recommendation later on. Yeah, and I just thought it's a very Scorpio story, plus the mix of her whole chart, and you can really see it in there because Mercury's on that moon. So she comes up with all these affirmations, these statements. So yeah, that's my classic Scorpios. Yeah. So monthly moons, of course, we're going to get a new moon in Scorpio. That's going to be November 4th at 5:14 p.m. New York time. The sun and moon are going to be opposite Uranus. So that's been an interesting journey for every Scorpio out there. And so with this new moon, if you're setting your intentions, make space for that wild card. This is that element that you can't control. So maybe invite it in as something, you know, prime it as something exciting and change that you would like. It might not be in the way that you think, but it could be in the way that you need or could do with. It's square Saturn and it's trine magical Neptune. So that's pretty great for manifesting with the Neptune at least. So yeah, set your intentions for letting go in that area of your life where is that at 12 Scorpio is. Letting go, maybe inviting in an alliance or merging, transforming something. So think along those lines. Great for, you know, why not get your witch on and cast a spell and, yeah, just get all witchy with that. Here in the Southern Hemisphere, of course, we are spring, so it's going to have that springtime vibe. It's not so obviously, you know, it's more Taurus-y here. So I think, you know, set motto, like the mottos and the affirmations for that new moon too, especially for the control freaks, like letting go of control because the Uranus is opposite that. And, you know, all the Scorpios are learning about that through this 7-year cycle at some point. So I like that serenity prayer. I just say, "Goddess, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change things I can, and wisdom to know the difference." And then on November 19th, 2 weeks later, we have the full moon, and it's going to have a partial lunar eclipse. So eclipse season is back. Thankfully, it's off the Sagittarians and the Geminis. So this one's partial, so it'll just amp it up that little bit more. The moon is conjunct the North Node, and it's going to be square Jupiter and trine Pluto. So trine Pluto for that extra power punch. I think that will give it a bit more intensity. And square Jupiter, so possibly overdoing something that forms a T-square. of course, overdoing something, maybe needing to take a leap, but holding back. So gauge where that is for you. And of course, balancing the polarities of Taurus and Scorpio is about, you know, Scorpio might be the merging and what you share with someone else. But Taurus is like, well, you've got to balance. Where's the line? Where's the boundary? What's yours? What do you have if that person is not there? I do always think that don't put all your eggs in one basket. Make sure that balance is there. It's always safe ground, like have that safe, sturdy, dry land to come to so that you're not at sea with the emotions of Scorpio as well. You know, you've got to have a port, a safe harbor. And I think that's the Taurus stuff, the routine. So what do you think is the main headlines this week or this month, Tony? Have we got some big ones or is it, are we rolling? Are we cruising?
Well, we still have the big long-term aspect this year, Saturn in Aquarius, square Uranus in Taurus. And we had the second pass, exact pass on June 14th. And we get one more in late December. As we start this podcast, there's about 7 degrees between the two. So it's not as tight as it's been this year. But that space is going to tighten up this month or over the next 30 days. And they're going to come within 4 degrees. So I'd expect these tensions to start to heat up a bit more as we move through November and we're heading towards that last exact pass. Now, I say that, and I've been saying that all year, but we actually, essentially, we get one more really strong pass next year. So we're not done at the end of the year with Saturn square Uranus. We get more next year, later in the year. So we'll talk about that another time. But you can tune into previous podcasts that we've had this year to hear a little bit more about some of the significations of Saturn square Uranus, or we've had several webinars. If you haven't already heard them at Astrology University, you can check those out as well. And lots of folks have been talking about this one on YouTube as well. So you could do some searches there. But for some of the shorter term key placements this month, Mars is in Libra and it stays in Libra through October 30th. And Mars is thought to have some challenges in Libra and to have some intensity in Scorpio, which is the sign it's going to be in next as we move to Halloween. So let's focus on Mars a little bit, talk about Mars in Libra, a little tiny bit about Mars in Scorpio. Mars takes center stage from October 18th through the 24th or so by way of an energetic air trine to Jupiter, but it has a square with Pluto at the same time. So let's talk about the trine first, which has a definite go for it energy. You know, whenever Mars and Jupiter come together like that, the trick is, I think, is knowing what to go for and how. These planets are in air signs, which favors actions that have fairness and equity in mind, as well as an intention to level the playing field so that people at the bottom of any hierarchies are taken into account. And that's coming through Jupiter and Aquarius. So this is a good time for actions that strive to improve equality, that have everyone's needs in mind, and that improve social systems based on ideals that don't only preference those folks who are at the top. I was just reading an article today about the masses of people who are leaving the corporate workspace in the United States, with one of the reasons cited that the folks at the bottom aren't being heard by the folks at the top. So they're saying their concerns aren't being addressed. So this would be a great time under this aspect for those organizations to start listening and to do something about the problem, to initiate those conversations about equity and voices being heard and such. But the square from Mars to Pluto at the same time brings in a need to cultivate bravery in these kinds of endeavors in the faces of forces that are outside your control, or perhaps a depth awareness of the power dynamics involved. In other words, the folks at the top might not listen. But the trine tells us that it's worth the effort anyway, because even though we may face resistance now coming through that square, our actions could still have an impact in the long term. So I think it's really worth tapping into that aspect. You know, the Mars-Jupiter trine, I think, could also, in that particular situation I was just describing, signify a good time to cut ties and to start something new and fresh and to head out in a new direction. Turning to Mars in Libra, this is a sign placement that gets a bad rap historically, traditional astrology, and the struggle's real if you have Mars in Libra natally, but there are gifts and opportunities in every placement, even Mars in Libra. It's just a matter of being able to identify them and in some cases to imagine them. Astrologers in the past have described Mars in Libra as limited because Mars by nature wants forward motion, and it doesn't tend to shy away from conflict that arises when it goes after what it wants. And those intentions and goals don't totally fit with Libra, and they're modified by being in Libra, which has a more cooperative energetic. The sign of a planet describes its style, and when Mars is in Libra, we might be a little more sensitive or averse to conflict, and we benefit from a little more thought, debate, processing, or compromise before taking action. It's not hard to imagine how that could be a good thing. Libra can temper Mars to be a little more fair and equitable, and also potentially aware of others' needs, which just isn't a hallmark of Mars in the first place. Mars and Libra might want to work with others rather than going solo as well. Going solo can be a Mars thing, but not necessarily in Libra. The trick is to really be conscious of your Mars if you have this placement so that you don't veer into passive aggressive territory. And one way to avoid that particular pitfall is to always seek clarity on what you want. Now, you'll need to engage with others to figure that out because Mars is in Libra. But if you're unconscious of your real needs, your actions might surprise you until you learn just where they're coming from. Mars and Libra people can get caught up fighting other people's battles as well. They might not always be aware of their own aggression. And until they become more self-aware, they might tend to see others as the instigator while being unaware of how their own actions have contributed to the conflict. As positive intentions, Mars and Libra can master the art of cooperation, compromise, and diplomacy. And for them, winning might look more like what's fair to everyone, more than a ruthless desire to get what they want, which is just more Mars at its essence. Fighting for their fair share could be a thing with Mars and Libra. They could also be fighting for someone else to get their fair share. So this can be a great placement for lawyers, diplomats, and negotiators, and conflict people who do conflict resolution, that type of work. For a great chart example that I talked about on my YouTube video recently, Roxane Gay is a cultural critic, novelist, and professor who wrote the best-selling book Bad Feminist, which is a collection of essays that explores how it feels to be a feminist while also loving things that could seem at odds with feminist ideology. In other words, she has an awareness of multiple points of view, and she uses that as a superpower. And you'll hear that in a quote in just a moment. She's got a Libra stellium, and that includes Mars in Libra, which is also conjunct her ascendant. And you can hear, so super, super Libra, but with Mars there. And you can hear that Mars and Libra talking in one of the book's essays where she writes, "We need to stop playing privilege or oppression Olympics because we'll never get anywhere until we find more effective ways of talking through difference. We should be able to say, this is my truth, and have that truth stand without 100 clamoring voices shouting, giving the impression that multiple truths cannot coexist," end of quote. With a Libra stellium, it's no wonder that she's already being so present with this idea of multiple truths coexisting and modeling that for us. There are two other days to take note of, and the first is November 10th, when we get Mercury and Mars conjunct in Scorpio, squaring Saturn in Aquarius. This one has the feeling of a person with sharp intensity squaring off with another person who has a controlling and too aloof demeanor. So this is a day that could call for some tenacity, always true when we have Mars and Saturn coming together, but also an awareness of how our words, because remember, Mercury's conjunct Mars there, how our words can be used as weapons, they're in Scorpio, and how they can really cause damage. Mercury conjunct Mars in Scorpio teaches us that there are some things said that can't be taken back. So choose your words deliberately and carefully. My usual Scorpio advice is most applicable to this placement and on this day, which is as soon as you hear the words in your head, "I know I shouldn't say this, but," consider listening to that little voice of reason that says, "I know I shouldn't say this." Do you really have to say it? Are you willing to cut ties completely with the person you're talking to? Are you willing to hurt them in order to say what you feel needs to be said in the moment? And what would happen, or how would you feel, if the person decided to never speak with you again as a result of how what you said made them feel? If you can answer all those questions and still think that it would be worth it, well, maybe you can move forward. But I think it's really worth ruminating on those questions first. With Mars in Scorpio, we don't have to act rashly or quickly. Our emotions can take us there. That's Mars being in Scorpio. But this is fixed water. And so the wisdom here is to give yourself space to react on your own time. That's fixity, which is almost always going to be more slowly than those around you. If you get fired up and you're at risk of wielding the Mars sword without thinking first, just stop yourself, ask for some space, and be present with your feelings for a day or two, or until you cool down enough to have that intense conversation. You're still going to want to have that conversation. Just do it on your own time on your own terms. Consider how your words might land. And when you're comfortable with all of the possible outcomes, then it's, well, I was about to say safe to say what you need to say. It's not safe necessarily, but you're ready at that point is what I would say. The other day I'll call out is November 17th when Mars opposes Uranus. And this is a great day to revisit Pema Chodron's work on not biting the hook. You should be able to Google that and find it referenced in a few places. We can fly off the handle with Mars Uranus and blow up situations in our life under that aspect that often leads to unwanted breaks or disruptions if we don't manage them well. Sometimes this aspect gives us the push that we need to break free from a situation that's held us back or that keeps us from being our full and authentic self. But at other times, it leads us to break free without an exit strategy. So the impulse is correct, but if we break free without having an exit strategy, we might find ourselves instantly actually a bit lost when the dust starts to settle. So I usually advise honoring that desire to break free by plotting an exit strategy that works on your own terms rather than impulsively walking out in the moment, even if that sounds really inviting and satisfying to do. If you quit a job, once you have another one lined up, you're in a much less stressful situation than if you give your boss the finger and don't have a backup plan at the ready. Anything you want to add to that, Vanessa?
Well, it's funny. That's one of the ones I did have underlined as well. Yeah, it just seems like, yeah, if it's on the go and something spontaneous is happening that is out of your control, I agree with you. Like, take the Scorpio position and just get back into your trapdoor and work out a plan so that you have some sense of control over something that is perhaps uncontrollable. Don't try to control the uncontrollable by making more chaos.
Yeah. And I mean, the outer planets really take us there to forces that are outside of our control. And if you think you can control them, well, that's a little bit of hubris.
Yeah. So also I think with generally that Uranus passing opposite Scorpio, it's like what a part of you does want change. If you're not, you know, that idea of if you're not owning it, it's going to seem like it's just happening to you. But actually, what's the benefit in that? Look for the benefit. They say there's always equal, you know, drawbacks and benefits. So what is the benefit that maybe you hadn't done for yourself? So the universe is, or subconsciously you've stepped into this situation. So it's usually better to get ahead of the curve and make your own changes when
absolutely
you feel the need, rather than wait until the wall gets knocked down by someone else.
Right, right. Mm. Well, we have some ingresses as well. So we have Mars in Scorpio on October 30th. That's right on time for Halloween. And then we have Venus in Capricorn on November 5th. In another ingress, the same day, Mercury goes into Scorpio. So this has got a let's get serious kind of vibe. And I'll talk about that when I do my recap at the end. But anything you want to say about those ingresses, Vanessa, before I move to declination?
Just that I love that Mars gets into Scorpio just in time for Halloween as well. And yeah, we do get a good solid bit of Scorpio with Mars and Mercury being there. I guess we get that early bit of Venus in Scorpio and we've had that already for a little while. So, you know, spooky season comes slightly early. So just look at how that flavor has come into your Libra season and how that changes as it goes into Capricorn as well, to start to pick up on that vibe and perhaps things that are standing out to you or that you're attracted to or the way that you're relating to people that may change.
So with declination, the moon is going out of bounds a couple of times a month right now for a few days each time. And those dates in this next 30 days or so are October 25th to 28th. While the moon's out of bounds, it'll be in Gemini and Cancer. And during that time, that's an important one to note. Actually, this applies to both of them. So for all of the out of bounds periods this month and in November, the moon is going to be out of bounds at the same time as Venus out of bounds. So moon's going to kind of jump up there into the same declination where Venus is. The other date is November 7th to 10th. When the moon's going to be in Sagittarius in Capricorn. So you want to earmark these dates and pay special attention to your emotional experience and your habitual responses on those days. especially underscored because Venus is also out of balance at the same time. So these are good dates for process rather than acting on emotional impulse. Some of the same things I said in terms of Scorpio advice applies here. Just, it's just a little bit different because you'll, like, let's say your natal moon is in Aries, you know, you're in a more volatile situation here. But if at all possible, it can help to give yourself some extra space on these days and wait to share anything sensitive that comes up until you've given yourself the presence that you need to be able to skillfully express your needs. So you just want to kind of hold some space for intensity and emotional experience on those days. Things can get a bit off kilter outside the box as well, especially when you have two planets out of bounds at the same time. Venus is going to is out of bounds right now as we're recording this, and it stays out of bounds through December 8th. That's an especially long Venus out of bounds period. So it's worth learning more about it if you haven't already. I did talk about it more extensively in the last podcast, the Libra season podcast. So check that one out. Because I won't say much about it today. And then if you want to learn more, check out my Venus Out of Bounds webinar on Astrology University. Now, the webinar focuses on natal Venus, but you're still going to learn something about the energetic potential of this out of bounds dynamic, which is potentially very creative and connective. So really wonderful energy, not something to be afraid of, just something to know how to work with. Parallel aspects are something I also talk about in the declination report. And most of us interpret those like conjunctions between planets. And we just have a couple of those to pay attention to this month. Now, the most important parallels are those that happen when the planets are conjunct and parallel at the same time. And we don't have one of those this month. So all these parallels are just parallels and the planets are making other aspects. So October 27th to 28th, Mercury's parallel Neptune. So that's bringing in some of that imaginative, dreamy vibe. But those planets are actually in quincunx by sign, and they form an exact quincunx on the 30th. So it's not the strongest type of parallel, but it is an energetic that you could tap into on those days. Great day for meditation, imaginative exploration, etc. And then on November 13th to 15th, Mercury is parallel Jupiter, again, not conjunct. On November 20th to 23rd, Mercury's parallel Saturn. That could be a good, really good writing day. November 16th to 19th, Mars is parallel Jupiter. And actually, that's all. And that's it. Those are all the parallels for this Scorpio season. And that takes us to our nonprofit break. And each month we feature a nonprofit on our podcast that we also support with a donation. And we encourage you to support them as well. And this month we're featuring one of our favorites, Charity Water, which is a nonprofit dedicated to bringing clean and safe drinking water to people in developing countries. Just thought this one would be a good one to talk about this month when I was just talking about stagnant water earlier. The folks at Charity Water believe that if we work together, that everyone will have access to life's most basic needs within our lifetime. To learn about Charity Water's inspiring work, look them up on YouTube, where you can watch the founder talk about his origin story, which is extremely moving, where he talks about what he was doing before he set up the nonprofit and what inspired him to get it going. And it helps so many people on a daily basis. And it's one of the most successful nonprofits. They're very transparent with how they use their money, and they really make efforts to get as much money as possible to the mission, which is really wonderful. You can learn more about them at charitywater.org. It's just those two words strung together, .org, Charity Water. And that takes us to Opportunity Knocks. And Vanessa's going to lead us into a few of these opportunity transits this month.
Yeah, so we have a few trines and sextiles. They're always helpful. The only thing is, if you look at their whole entire configuration, most of them come with a square to something. So Tony's example was, don't rob a bank. And I was saying, yeah, because you signed in to get into the bank, or there's a security camera, or there's something. So we have on October 28th, we do have that out of bounds Venus in Sagittarius is sextile Jupiter. What a great vibe, what a great day for a date. Oh, except it's square Neptune. So don't go and, you know, get married off the cuff. Oh, this will be a great idea, won't it? No, it's not a good idea. Just enjoy, like, know that square's there. So maybe play with that and enjoy the fantasy, or like dress up, or yeah, do something fantastical or artistic and really amplify that rather than take unnecessary risks, because it's, yeah, there's like not knowing where that, there's no limit and there's no boundary in that aspect set right there at all. So how could that be beneficial? How could you use that? Again, that could be a great creative day as well. It could, I'm just thinking again, I was thinking about going to get the haircuts or the makeover. It seemed like a good idea at the time. That's one of those. We've got on October 31st, Mercury trine Jupiter, but then it's square Pluto, but then it's also still in that sextile with Venus. So although it's not exact with the other aspects, they're still informing it. So Mercury trine Jupiter, great for big ideas, maybe square the Pluto. Don't wrap in too many conspiracy theories, or like don't go large with something that down a rabbit hole that what's the point of what you're doing. Or maybe it could really help you ferret something out actually, or face something that is a little bit more challenging because of the Pluto. I quite like we've got the Venus trine Uranus again for that's the day for the asymmetrical on November 18th. So Venus is in Capricorn by now and Uranus, of course, is in Taurus. So that's a nice earthy trine there. And then a square Chiron. So, yeah, maybe don't get the asymmetrical. Maybe the scissor might snip your ear or something like that. So they're a balance. They're a real balance. That one's also sextile Mars. So that's great for, you know, taking action as well. What do you think of those, Tony, when you get this really great aspect, but then you do also get this tie-in of there's a challenge and opportunity at the same time? How do you blend those things? Do you just, are you just aware of what could be a pitfall or a tripping point, or do you take it as a challenge, something that you might need to work with more?
Right. I think that, you know, in my experience, life never just flows perfectly smoothly the way that we want. And I think that the aspects or the full chart always describes, you know, the complexity of every situation in every moment, right? And so I just think of them as descriptive. And I still think it's worth energetically and intentionally tapping into the opportunity aspects, the sextiles and trines. You know, a lot of the old books will teach, you know, to just focus on the squares and oppositions and conjunctions, and that they'll say things like, to get your sextile to work, you have to actually put effort into it and you can just snooze through your trines. And I think I don't necessarily agree with that, but I do think that there's something to these aspects in that we can intentionally harness them, and we can, even in the context of other challenging aspects that day, I think we can kind of try to tap into that energy and express it in some way. And I find it kind of useful astrological magic, if nothing else.
Yeah, I'll agree with that too. And I'll just mention for anyone watching this, my camera's gone on stealth mode, which it's decided to do in Scorpio season. I'm not doing it on purpose. At least I don't have a cone of silence as well. But yes, I've gone to ground.
Well, that takes us to electional days for this month. And I've got a couple of those picked out for you. The first one is October 24th. The moon's in Gemini that day. This is after the full moon. So if you've heard me talk about electionals before, you know that's not my favorite for brand new starts, but it is great for actions that tie something together or that relate to the fullness of a project in some way. The moon on that day completes a grand trine with Mars and Jupiter after making the trine with Mercury just the day before. So there's some really lovely trine energy to tap into on that day, and to make the most of the moon or any of the planets in that trine, you can get the sign that one of them rules on the ascendant. And that's the trick there to try to get working. On November 6th, there's a lovely sextile from Mercury to Venus, and the moon is in good shape that day in Sagittarius. It's making its last aspect as a sextile to Jupiter. So that can be a good time for something new. On November 12th and 13th, these could be good days for artistic, spiritual, or emotional projects. Also during the waxing phase of the moon, But the moon is in Pisces that day, applying to conjunct Neptune. And the last aspect the moon makes that day is a sextile to Pluto. So just classically a good electional day for the moon, but definitely consider the moon's shape. I really like to align the actions taken with the vibe of that chart. And with the moon conjunct Neptune in Pisces, it's got a real specific kind of vibe. Well, that takes us to what's on your coffee table. So what are you reading these days, Vanessa?
Well, as mentioned earlier, I am looking at You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay, Moon in Scorpio. She also, it's not just the Moon in Scorpio, she also has really hard aspects from Pluto. When she had her diagnosis, Pluto was square Pluto conjunct her sun that was square Pluto natally. You know, it was just this whole set up basically. So she came out with what ended up being this book. And I just think it's, you know, when people I don't know well have an issue, I find it an easy way to just say, well, you know, I'll just look up the Louise Hay book and see what she says about that particular problem. And I'll sort of take a snapshot and send it to them. And, you know, they're really tough things that she says. It's like the things that Scorpio knows it's probably not a good time to say it ever, because the reaction can be to cut them off rather than face the actual issue. So it's a great way to broach something that, or at least sort of get a handle on getting chatting about something that maybe is like a deeper or more challenging issue. And then of course she gives that great positive affirmation to go with it. So always an interesting one. You Can Heal Your Life, such a classic by Louise Hay. What about you, Tony? What are you reading?
I'm intending to read. I haven't started it yet. I just got this book at a local coffee shop called Firebrands, Activists You Didn't Learn About in School. And it's edited by Sean Slifer and Beck Young. And this is just from the back of the book. These pages recognize the work of grassroots organizers, revolutionaries, visionaries, anarchists, workers, and artists. They put their bodies and souls into fighting injustice and making their communities better, and often gave their lives for causes they believed in. And it's basically lovely illustrated book with little bits about that person and their contributions. And it was intending to use the book to do some to help fill out a research project where I'm looking at the charts of these type of folks. And I have a massive spreadsheet full of these charts. And there are several people in this book that are not in my list yet. So I am looking forward to learning more about them.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, well, that takes us to takeaways. So what are your takeaways for this month?
Oh, just let it go. Let it go. What is that you have? First you have to accept it, then you have to like acknowledge it, face it, integrate, letting go, integrating, that whole process of death and rebirth. That's my takeaway for this season. Look at, you know, it's easier in the north because you see the nature doing it. It's taking in the nutrients, it's dropping the leaves, it's dropping what it doesn't need anymore, but it's taking what it does. So be like the nature. You know, it's all a process and it's cyclical and it's not the end. The end is always the beginning, but to get to the beginning, you have to get to the end first. Like they're the same thing. So, and what's yours, Tony?
Good one. Mine is starting on November 5th, especially because that's when we have everybody's in Scorpio and Capricorn inner planets. Allow yourself to get more serious, to dig into something, to go deep rather than wide, so depth rather than breadth. Be willing to look at the dark side of things or just the side that you've been hiding out from. Be sensitive with your communications. Truth and transparency are great intentions, as long as you also remember the Taurus wisdom that there are some things that are better left unsaid.
Yep. And just get on with work and get on with what you've got to do. Yeah, that's good advice. That's definitely good advice. And what about do you have a monthly mantra for Scorpio season?
Yeah, I got a couple here. I openly face my fears and the darkness of life. Not exactly a Louise Hay mantra. And then I invite a dance with the shadow in order to find a deeper experience of wholeness.
Yeah, There's a lot that could go with this one, isn't there? Mine are, I easily release with love everything that no longer serves my highest potential, and I easily own my power and express it in a way that is empowering to all.
Good ones.
Yes. And what have you got coming up? Because that brings us to the end of Scorpio season, Cosmic Eye.
Yeah, well, on October 23rd at Astrology University, we have a new webinar with Kelly Surtees on the lunar nodes, a traditional approach. So the nodes are always popular, and Kelly's always popular, and she's going to take us into a traditional approach on the nodes. So in this webinar, she's going to show us how the nodes represent a symbolic dragon. Some of you know what that means, and how a planet conjunct a node might be impacted both symbolically and in practical terms. And if you've been to one of Kelly's webinars, you know, she's just packs them full of wonderful information. She has a lovely spirit and presentation, and you'll come away with lots of practical takeaways. On October 27th, we have three new courses starting on the same day. And these are 4-week courses that include reading assignments and homework to help you apply what you're learning as you go. And the first one is Intro to Hellenistic Astrology with Demetra George. If you're new to this subject, Demetra is one of the best teachers to study these ancient forms with, and she's going to be starting from the ground up in this course. So if you're totally new to Hellenistic astrology, this is for you. If you've already been studying for a while, or if you've read her book, this is really more of an intro course. So this one is going to have a focus on the core set of traditional techniques while working through charts to show you how to apply them. So in the classes, she's going to work through some charts to show you how to apply the techniques. And then she's also going to give you homework that includes doing this exact same process with additional charts. And then you'll follow along and do some reading from her definitive book on ancient astrology. On that same day, I start a course on the inner planets, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, where I'll be introducing these powerful archetypes and show you how to start working with them in the natal chart. We're going to explore them as key components of our ego and identity. And we're going to be reading the classic book, The Inner Planets by Liz Green and Howard Sisbordis. Really wonderful read and a fun class. The third class that we start that day is Inner and Outer Planets in Combination, taught by Jessica Murray. So that's if you're brand new to astrology, you'd want to do the Inner Planets class first, and then this one where we look at inner and outer planets in aspect. And this class is super inspiring. Jessica Murray is an amazing, amazing teacher full of great wisdom that comes from working for many, many years with clients. And she is going to show how strong contacts between the outer planets and Mercury, Venus, and Mars can lead to extremely creative and at times overwhelming contacts with these powerful forces outside our control that are represented by the outer planets. And she'll also be giving some examples of specific planets in aspect and some folks who have those aspects. One previous student who took that course shared this lovely review. This is from a woman named Jessie who said, Jessica Murray is just totally stellar. She always packs in so much information, historical, social, linguistic, and philosophical points to ponder and take in. This class will definitely take your understanding of the outer planet, inner planet dynamics to a new level. These are lectures that you can keep listening to many times over and get something new each time. End of quote. So head over to the event calendar at Astrology University to learn more and sign up. And what's going on in your world, Vanessa?
I am open for consultations as always at astroallstars.com with a Z. And I finally am official with the third book. I've been working on it, but it's the contract is signed. So it's nailed down. I feel a lot more secure when that happens. So just plugging away at that through to February, basically.
Congratulations.
So, yes. I love a deadline. It makes all the difference, doesn't it?
Yes. I don't love a deadline, but it does make all the difference.
I need one. I need the container because I have no container otherwise.
Right.
And so that's pretty much the rest of the year for me. I'm not saying yes to new things.
Well, it'll be worth it. I can't wait to see the new book. And if you haven't seen her previous books, she has two of them out there that you can find. So do a little beep, boop, beep, boop, bop, Googling, and you can find her books. And at least one of them has been translated into French. Have both of them been translated?
They both were. Yeah. Yes.
Just that's exactly so cool.
The same, but in French. I know. These things come as a surprise. I'm very happy with that. So I've learned all the signs in French.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And so I guess that brings us to the end of the Cosmic Eye Scorpio season.
Yeah. And thanks, folks, for tuning in. And until next time, take good care.
And stay cosmic.
Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.